Good afternoon. Before it comes up, I don't have any relationships, so I have nothing to disclose. I'm going to try and give you a window into this project that Ellen has introduced, a window into what actually happens on the ground in one of the eight counties. That's Tulare County, where I live and work. The two communities are Early Mart and Pixley in the southern end of the county, respectively about 6,500 people and something under 2,000 people. I'm going to talk about the initial investment in getting to know the community. I'm going to talk about engaging the community, the challenges to investing in the San Joaquin Valley rural communities, what that investment looks like at the community level, and then making the investment pay. Or you want me to do it? How awful.
No, that one.
Oh. Okay. Initially, for us, for me, very important to get to know the community that I was moving into. Obviously, I am not Hispanic. I wasn't even born in this country, so I had a lot of homework to do. And I think that's terribly important as we moved into the community, that we were not inappropriate, we didn't offend people. Looked for the strengths in that community, which were numerous. Hard-working, courageous people who had picked up and come here this generation or a generation previously, strong desire to be included and participate in American life. As we began to engage the community, which we did by a number of mechanisms, we held a public event in the park, we did door-to-door surveying, and a lot of listening. Clearly, parents wanted a better life for their children. I've never met a parent who'd said anything different. They knew that education and health were necessary to their children's success. And when we defined health as a place for adequate amounts of physical activity and access to healthy foods, they understood what we were talking about and realized that that would make it easier for them to raise healthy children. They quite quickly and with ease came up with a list of environmental changes that they would like to see happen that would fit into that goal they have of raising healthy children who are going to be successful in this country. And these really became the mandates for the project. Note, they literally came from the community. They were not my mandates or Ellen's mandates. Let me just pause for a minute, though, and tell you about some of the enormous challenges that we face in the San Joaquin Valley, factors that lead to environmental injustice. These are very small, isolated, impoverished communities. We're talking about $16,000 a year average income or less. They're largely, both the times that I work in, are unincorporated. They have no voice. They have virtually no infrastructure. Social infrastructure by which they can voice their needs or have any kind of input into the civic process at the county level. They tend to be overlooked and underserved. And this is justified by the fact that they're a very low tax base. There are language and cultural barriers. Low educational achievement, a lack of capacity in community, where they had never knocked on the door in the company of somebody else with a survey, didn't know what that was all about when we asked them to help us. And then there are some very subtle things that go on that have to do with assumptions that are made covertly by decision makers, which unfortunately are based on race and socioeconomics. And these communities are so unsophisticated that the racism is right up in my face. It's quite remarkable, actually. There's no attempt at political correctness. It's just blatant racism. And then we've got issues of legal status. This is my favorite part of the work. This is what I call kitchen table work, because that very often is where it's done. And it's very much a relationship-based kind of approach, in my case, to, or our case, to community development. And I think that, I have a background as a therapist, and unless you've got a relationship with the person that you're working with, I'm not sure that you get anywhere. And I've just sort of transferred that to my working communities with some success. Although it's very time-consuming and often really quite challenging, particularly in my case, as I'm not bilingual, okay? I have to work with an interpreter, but we get there. Beyond the kitchen table comes a whole set of other, the next stage of the work, which, you know, I'm not going to go through these, you can all read, but I think that they, in a sense, will become the legacy of this project. Not only are we going to change the environment in these two little towns, we're also going to change sort of policy. I think we're also having an effect that will remain in the community because we've built skills and because we've taught people how to do planning and because we're in the process of helping them really to become advocates for their own case, which is what we need to have happen, because the California Endowment assures us that they're not going to perpetually fund us. So we're going to go away. And so this work becomes the legacy on the ground. Making the investment pay. What I mean by that is getting some success so that your funder is able to say, we gave you all this money, what did you do with it? Policy of sort of picking the low hanging fruit first, which is sometimes difficult to discern what that is. I had a piece of fruit crawl into my lap in this community. They wanted to displace a WIC clinic. It was not in my scope of work. The community rose up and said, we actually saved the, clinic. But the low hanging fruit, there are a series of issues there raised by the community which are not as difficult as the higher level fruit that I'm going to come to on the next slide. Very important, in my view, that community gets some sense that they're making progress, that something's happening, something's changing. Those goalposts that you saw on Ellen's slides are the pride of the males in that community. And it's like, look, the county did something for us. And that energizes them to move to the next stage, which is much more difficult issues like high-level change. We're working very hard on the joint use of public facilities, the school, green space, and other facilities that they have, making that available to the community. Those are difficult, gnarly, for those of you familiar with this type of work, those are gnarly kinds of projects that take a long time. And then something, moving a bureaucracy to agree to have those parks open from dawn till dusk rather than close them at 5 o'clock when most people don't get home from work until 6. So I'm not quite sure how they're supposed to do their exercise in the park if the gates are locked, but that's the way it is right now. And I'm optimistic that we'll get the gates open eventually. Very much a bottom-up process, not a top-down process. The community spoke, we listened. It's their energy, their ideas, their gain. It's what I choose to call the nurturing and development of real people power rather than paid people power, which is what I have. And then a community investment that results in changes to policies and local environments, civic literacy, we hope, and engagement and the capacity for sustained advocacy for social and environmental justice, promoting healthy families and communities. Thank you.